Well, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews 11. You know, there's a great, Hebrews 11 is a great chapter on believing. And if we had more time, I would do that as well as the other thing I'm going to do. You know, everybody believes something. You know, there's some people who believe the world is round. There's some people who believe the world is flat. I'm not quite sure about that. But, you know, and everybody believes something. You know, and but it makes a difference what we believe. What we believe makes a difference. And God knows that. And that's why God gave us the words to believe. He gave us what we are supposed to look to find out what we are supposed to believe. And believing equals receiving. Remember that? As we believe, we receive. But there's a catch to that. The catch to that is God guarantees it when it comes to His Word. He gives you His Word, you believe His Word, His word comes to pass. Now, you know, you go play the lottery and you're believing really hard that you're going to win the lottery. I'm sorry. Save your money. Unless God tells you. God tells you the numbers and tells you to go play. Well, you know, maybe he needs some money invested somewhere or something. I guess he could do that, but and I'm not sure he would mess with something like that. But, you know, if that happened, then you could believe and expect to get results. You could do that and expect to get results. So what did I tell you? Hebrews 11:6. I'm talking up here so much I hadn't even gotten there in my Bible yet. But you're all there, so that's very good. Oh, Chris Hines isn't there yet either. He got distracted by my talking. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, and we know the word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, the Greek root pistis pistuo, and it is also translated believing. Some people have make a distinction between faith and believing, and therefore they have misconceptions about things relative to the Word of God. But if you translate it believing every place, then it's a lot, you're going to be a lot closer to being able to understand exactly what is being communicated by that word in the Scriptures. And so 11:6, it says, but without believing, it is impossible to please Him. And the Him here is God. Without believing, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, would you go to somebody that you didn't believe existed? No. No, you wouldn't. Would you go to your grandma, you know, if your grandma's not around anymore? You can't, you know. So, for he that cometh to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And, you know, there's examples of believing before and after this wonderful verse here in Hebrews 11. So, we go to God with what? Believing. We go to God with believing. Look at Romans 1, please. Romans 1. This is such a wonderful thing that God has explained this so that we understand it and so we can benefit from it. We're going to see that God's word is not profitable unless it's believed. In Romans chapter 1, let's look at verse 16. It says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ as omitted by a number of texts. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does one thing. Believeth. Everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from believing to believing. From believing that which you are to believe. It's believing that which you are to believe. Sometimes the word faith or pistis or believing is used as the foundation upon which our believing rests, or it can be used as that which we are to believe as a figure of speech. So here it's talking about believing that which we are to believe. Wow, that's pretty clear. That's pretty simple. As it is written, the just shall live by mashed potatoes and gravy. No, the just shall live by what? Believing. The just shall live by believing. What a terrific thing. A terrific thing that is. Look at, while we're in Romans, look at chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This believing thing is pretty significant. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. His heart went out to Israel big time. You know, the Apostle Paul, but he said this of God. God's heart's desire and prayer is for Israel to be saved, that Israel might be saved. You know, this is God-breathed word. This is what God wanted the Apostle Paul to write. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. There are lots of people that have tremendous zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And this is interesting. Their zeal for God is according to certain knowledge, but it's not according to the right kind of knowledge. It's not according to the knowledge found in God's Word. You know, they have their traditions. They have their, things that they say are true that ain't. Nancy says, I got to quit saying that. Got to quit saying ain't, so I'm going to say aren't. You know, it's not according to knowledge of something else. It's according to knowledge of God's Word. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What are they ignorant of? God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to do works to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that does what?
Believes.
That's right. To everyone that believes. Okay, got to make sure my phone's off. Sorry. Suddenly hit me that my phone was on. Funny things happen like that in the middle of stuff. For look at this. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That believes what? That believes that. You know, that believe. If you think Christ is the end of the law, but if I don't do the law, I'm not going to get saved. Oh, I hope someday to get good enough to be saved. You know, that's, none of us are good enough to be saved. That's why we needed a Savior. We needed someone that could do it for us. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of believing speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, who's going to be good enough, they've got their works done to go up into heaven and bring Christ down, you know, because they're so righteous and wonderful. Or who shall descend into the deep, they'll humble themselves, they're so humble and everything, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Well, they couldn't do that either. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee and in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of believing, which we preach unto you. And here it is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it's in your mouth, you confess the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, I mean, what more can you say? And God made it so simple. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say something. You're supposed to make Jesus Christ Lord. You know, and it's more than just saying it. You probably should try to live that way. And to believe that God raised him from the dead. That is the word of salvation. Now let me show you some other things about believing, and we'll get back to this again. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Whenever it talks about healing in the Bible, you can check this out, there is teaching and preaching before the healing. If you don't have the teaching of the word, you don't know what you are to believe. You have to have something to believe. After he taught them the word, it says, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 51, this is such a great, great section here. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? Yea, they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto the man that is the householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. I don't know why I started with that. It's nice. Verse 53 is where I'm supposed to go. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son, and his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? We know the family. There's no way he could know all this. How could he make these statements? You know, like this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear and things like that. And they were astonished They were offended in him. But Jesus saith unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. He went in there. He shared the word with them like he always did. They had the basis for believing and getting results, just like those other people did in other places. And yet, no results. Why? They didn't believe. They did not believe. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. Unbelief is doubt, worry, and fear. Unbelief is not accepting the word of God. Believing is confidence, trust, and believing. Believing is accepting the word of God. You know, well, I accept that as gospel. Good, you should. You know, it is gospel. Look at Mark 11. Let's see, we're in Matthew. Let's go to Mark 11. And this is an example of believing. It's like a lesson for the disciples in Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. There's a little bud in the fig tree that grows in this location around in this climate and so forth. There's a fig tree that has a little bud that comes out when the leaves come out, and that bud eventually grows into being a fig, but it can be eaten as a little snack, as a snack before the figs come out. And he saw that those little buds weren't there, so he knew if there weren't any of those buds in there, there wouldn't be any figs either, wouldn't be any fruit. And Jesus answered and said unto it, you got to be specific. He talked to the fig tree. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they're saying, oh my gosh, he's talking to trees now, you know. Talking to bushes and shrubs, you know, whatever. You know, so they go into Jerusalem, they come back. Look at verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, you know, this is on their way back in to Jerusalem again, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, a tree usually dies from the leaf down. This dried backwards from the roots up. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God, have believing in God, or simply believe God. Now, today when you leave fellowship, I want you all to go out, find a fig tree or apple tree, pear tree, whatever you want, and curse it and see if this works. No, that's not the point. The point is, God gave him an object lesson. He said, you see that fig tree over there? Go over there. If there are no figs on it, curse it. Come back, you know, and just leave. Come back. He came back the next day. It was dried up. The disciples saw it. Remember, the disciples heard it. And now the disciples saw it. This was an object lesson in believing for them. But he did it from the word of God. God told him that. God tells us what to believe. We believe it. God brings it to pass. It's that's how it works. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. When would anyone ever say something like that? Mountain be removed, cast into the sea. Only if God told them to do. God placed the mountains. God put the whole, made the dry land appear. God put the water where he put the water. You know, God can move a mountain if he wants to. But he doesn't want to unless he needs to, you know. And so you don't go out and go up to the, I'm going to go to Humpback Rock, you know, and tell Humpback Rock, I'm not going to doubt. Well, you'll doubt, believe me. Because if God doesn't tell you to do it, then you're not going to be able to do it. It ain't going to work, Nancy, sorry. It isn't going to work. There, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And again, whatsoever things ye desire... Oh, I desire a mink coat. I'm going to pray. I really desire it. That's, again, desire it how? Desire it from what God's word says is available. If God's word says it's available, you confess that, you say that, you believe that, and God will bring it to pass. That's it. And you've got to believe. It's a matter of believing the word. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Look at let's start in 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of believing. The gospel is made known for the obedience of believing. He gave us that so that we could obey him, and we obey him by believing it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You believe it. You know, you believe it. God gave you that to believe. It's the obedience of believing. Okay, look at Hebrews 4. This believing is so powerful and so wonderful in the scriptures. It's a law that works for saint or sinner alike. You believe what the word says, you get the results that the word promises. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Oh my gosh. God's word is profitable. It's profitable, remember, for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in righteousness. God's word is it's valuable. You know, it's profitable. They're precious promises. So how can this be said? But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. Without believing, God's word is not profitable. You've got to believe the word of God. You've got to believe what God says. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This stuff is so wonderful, so simple. You either believe it or you don't. If you believe it, you get terrific results. If you don't, you get consequences. Yeah. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Old Testament law and the prophets witness to this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Believing. The righteousness of God is by believing? By believing of Jesus Christ, or believing regarding Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that do what? Believe. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh boy. Unto all and upon all that do what? Believe. But if you hear the word of God and you don't believe the word of God, it won't profit you. If you hear the word of God and you need healing, and but you say, that person can't heal me. That guy, that person, that woman, how could they? Well, it's by the power of God that's in them they can, if you believe. Remember, he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. This is why the law is conquered by this believing. For the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer under the law. The law is not the measure for righteousness. Believing regarding what Jesus Christ accomplished is the measure for righteousness. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you received the word of God. And this word received is the word lambano. Not decalmai, where you receive it subjectively, but lambano, where you receive it objectively. You receive it with believing. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in all that do what? Believe. Christians are called believers. Why? Because they believe. And someday we're going to be leaving this place. Waited all this whole time to be able to say that. But we believe. We're Christians. We're believers. We believe. What a terrific thing. And there's a difference between effective. Something that is effective gets results. No question about it. It's effective. It gets results. But something that is effectual gets the desired results. You want the desired results in your life? Believe the word. Believe the word. You have a question about something? Get your concordance out. Try to find scriptures that relate to it. And then you read it, and you believe it, and what happens? You get results. It's effectual. The word of God is effectual. 2 Timothy 1:7, we know this one by heart, don't we? God is not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? I think I said that right. Better look at it, make sure I didn't say it wrong. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear defeats the promises of God, remember? Well, God doesn't give us stuff to defeat his promises, for goodness sake. And sometimes in the Word it talks about the fear of the Lord. That is, that word fear should be translated reverence or respect in those places. There's there's another meaning associated with it. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Wow. That's terrific stuff that God has given us. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. You want to get rid of fear? Start loving. Start loving. I used to be afraid to stand up in front of a crowd and speak. Or especially to read something in front of a crowd. You know. But because I love God and His Word, and I love God's people, I've overcome that fear because love gets rid of fear. Love gets rid of fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved the world that he gave. Look at, while we're in 1 John, go to chapter 5. Verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence, the boldness, the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. How do you find God's will? Where do you go to find God's will? You go to the Word. The Word of God is the will of God. Does it say that behind me here? Yeah, it does. And in front of me. I'm surrounded by it. You know, the will of God, he heareth him. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. We go to God's word. We find the promise in God's word. We believe God's word. We pray accordingly. And are we going to get results? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Just like gravity. You know, you drop something. I'm not going to drop my phone, but you drop something. What's going to happen? It's going to go down. Tomorrow morning, what's going to happen? Sun's going to come up. You can depend on God and his word just like those things. Just like those things in life. Go back to Romans chapter 10 again, please. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Take a look at this and we'll call it a day. Romans 10, 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they preach? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isn't that something? Wow. Wow. Boy, oh boy. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Remember, obey by what? Believing. The obedience of believing. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? We've told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've told them about God's love. We've told them how to get saved. But they don't want to believe it. What can we do? Well, nothing we can do. Tell them again. Tell it again for someone needs it. Tell it again.
Till someone heeds it.
Till someone heeds it. Right. Verse 17. So then, believing cometh by hearing. You've got to hear the word to believe the word. And, you know, that. So I guess then you better, if you're just reading it, you better read it out loud. No, it's, you know, it's, in other words, you know, you got to get the word. Maybe you just read it and you believe it. You can read it and believe it. You can hear with your mind as you're reading. But if we go out and we speak the word to people, they are at what we used to hear them talk about, a moment of decision. I mean, yeah, sure. But you don't have to come down to the altar. You don't have to, you know, give up anything or any of the rest of the stuff. Because you confess Jesus as Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just terrific. So then, believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have a mission in life. We are preachers. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile men back to him. We can speak God's word. If they don't want to hear it, too bad. We still can speak it. We still speak God's word. Because if they never hear it, they're never going to believe it. And we, knowing it, can speak it so they can hear it. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for these great truths in your word. How wonderful it is to know and understand you and what you've made available and what Jesus Christ came to do. And what a terrific thing that you've made it possible for us to be believers. And may we continue to believe the greatness of your word and carry it forth in our day and time. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.